Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, Leslie M. Scott Jones and David Von Strawn. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Hello! Charlottesville! It is Sunday! It is July the 1st, Rabbit. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local arts, on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One.
Okay, what is with the singing this morning?
There's a lot of...
I sing.
I know you sing, but I'm asking why singing this morning. Really? You happy?
I'm so happy.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, it's mostly happy.
Well, all right. Well, you know, but you know what? But you know what? We're going to take it.
Yeah.
We're going to take it, and we're going to run with it.
Jump out the window like the trash. Right.
Oh, well, let's not do that.
Okay.
Let's not do that.
It all might happen today on this
show. Oh, my God.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Just a little guy with ugly feet trying to get through the darkness.
You know, I've seen your feet. They're not that ugly.
They aren't that ugly.
They're not.
You know,
they are not hobbitish in any way.
I bring people down, I lower the expectation, and then I surprise them. And then I show up with nice feet. And then they're like, oh, okay. And then they're pleasantly surprised, rather
really?
Hideously disappointed. You know, you gotta flip it around. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right. All right.
Okay.
That's a way to go.
Lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones. How you doing, girl?
I am so pumped. Like,
Same.
Just came back from DC. Had my next boxing class yesterday.
What?
Yeah, I'm taking boxing lessons.
What?
Yes.
Yo.
Yes, y'all can't see. David's face is like, what? Oh, damn, I was already afraid of her. Now she knows how to hit me. Like,
you're doing the boxing play
right
this March, so that just for a little bit of like understanding.
The first class was to learn like some of the mechanics and you know and figure out some stuff so
That's
I could
cool.
like get in my
well,
head like how I want
yeah.
the boxers to move on stage, but
yes.
I love it. Like
yeah.
I love it. It is so much fun. Like
it's the sweet science.
I have never been that person to like go to the gym because it's always been so boring.
Mm.
Like you know, it's like oh, gotta get on the treadmill and like walk for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Why don't I just shoot myself in the head?
Yeah, same. I need a purpose.
I need something.
I need something to beat. I need something to like
right.
push
and,
into. I need some type of.
And
ooh,
I was
boom.
Completely and you know wonderfully surprised that this is not only like the best workout I have ever had. It's also very cerebral. Like, because you never stop thinking, right? It's always like, okay, I'm doing a cross jab roll, cross hook. All right. But it's like, you know, but you have to kind of know what that is and you have to time it out. And it's always,
it's not just, I'm flailing in the air.
Right.
Punch them off.
Right. It's it's such a cerebral side to it. And it like what? Okay. So yesterday we learned blocks. And he's given, and my trainer Jeremy is like giving me this combination. Like he's got the pads in front of me, right? He's giving me the combination, and he's like, "Oh, you like that?" I was like, "Yes."
This is the beginning of many homegrown boxing banters coming up soon on new.
You and
I,
you should come
episodes.
With me one weekend, David, and take
no,
the class.
No, you just want to beat the crap out of me. That's
There's no sparring. There's no sparring.
That's a setup.
There's no sparring. There's no sparring at this point.
All right. There is a guest.
There's an amazing guest.
Yo, it's going to be an amazing show. A.D. Carson's in the house. Hip-hop artist and UVA professor of hip-hop. Sleepwalking 2 just released June 22nd. Sleepwalking 2 is...
Sleepwalking 2 is... It's an album. Oh, I'm sorry. It's an album. It is 5 tracks about 18 minutes worth of, you know, stuff I'm saying. That's
all. So I'm guessing I got to get Sleepwalking 1 to understand what Sleepwalking 2 is about.
Well, I think that you could probably start with the second one and it not really be too bad. But Sleepwalking 1 is, Sleepwalking 1 was last year, you know, before when I came here to, when I came to Charlottesville, it was really just kind of reflections about the engagement with the, you know, with that particular point in time. Mm-hmm. And after the, you know, finished the first year here, there was some other stuff that I needed to express. And so they're different. They're very different in approach and the content. I think really tackles similar subject matter in a different way.
Subject matter in terms of, like what are we going to hear when we listen to Sleepwalking? Like, what's the theme? What's the tone that you're going to put down?
Well, the previous album was really kind of about, is really about like, accomplishing or overcoming or, and then sitting in the moment of that particular accomplishment and then trying to wrestle with what it means to have, achieved a particular thing and then try to move forward. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, to be more specific, I mean, like if I was in this situation in South Carolina working on this degree, doing music, and to have finished that and then moving here to Charlottesville, thinking about what it means to have like achieved that accomplishment, and if that was really the accomplishment that I thought it was, if that really meant that you know, that we'd arrived, and by we I mean I guess it was just myself, but you know, like,
right.
Like if there are
the
more
world,
of us,
but yeah, yeah, I mean, I understand that.
Yeah, so
there's so many aspects of oneself.
Yeah, and if there are others of us who can celebrate that, like if there are people who are celebrating with me the fact that I that I did this project in this way and wound up in this place,
mm-hmm.
Is that going to be consistent? The feeling that is something worth celebrating, And even not just consistency, but the ways that it is being celebrated. Am I all right with the ways that folks are celebrating that with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I be okay with folks being extremely proud of the way that it happened without knowing the why? You know,
right?
And really, like, feeling as though that celebration is more superficial, and not being able to get down into whatever layers might exist there. And so that's what I was talking about with Sleepwalking 1, really trying to get through that or get past that or work with that, really asking myself those questions. Sleepwalking 2 is more focused on that content, some of the more essential questions, like what, you know, what can be said, you know, within certain contexts, and how do we deal with saying what we might think needs to be said if there are going to be if there are going to be ways that we're told that we are not allowed to express that particular thing.
So, well, isn't that partially what rap has always been about? Expressing things that we as the Black community have been told not to say?
Yeah, I think that's a part of it. It's really in this particular project, I'm also thinking about what it means to be saying that from here, you know, mm-hmm. like from my particular experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if that changes anything, if it doesn't change anything, then, you know, there's nothing to lose whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does, then, you know, we'll see, you know,
right.
we'll see
right.
exactly,
right.
you know, what that looks like.
So can we back up?
Yeah.
Like, so exactly. So where are you from? You say you arrived in Charlottesville. So exactly where do you hail from? And talk about that pilgrimage that you're speaking of in the Sleepwalking 1 and 2, like, you know, in the lyrical composition of that, like what your story was from getting from where you were to here right now.
Warren, I appreciate that question, too,
because
I skip
No, it's okay.
All the time. No, I just leave out information.
No, we're going to have you back on. It's okay. We're going to get a lot more information from
you. So I'm from Illinois. I'm from central Illinois. Mm. And about 5 years ago, I left central Illinois to go to South Carolina for a doctoral program in rhetoric, communication, and information design. I did the PhD at Clemson and wrote this rap album as my dissertation. Mm. And from that experience, you know, I found myself here at UVA as the so-called professor of hip hop. So the dissertation album was in 2017. And I guess it was May, from March to May 2017. And then Sleepwalking 1 came out in August after the summer, at the end of the summer. Mm. And then Sleepwalking 2 was at the end of the spring semester. So it just came out about a week ago.
Right on.
You say so-called.
So-called.
You say so-called professor of hip-hop.
Right.
You say that very tongue-in-cheek, rather.
No, I mean, that's what it's called. That's what it says on paper. So, you know, like, I guess that's the best way to say it. I mean, I think that I could imagine someone hearing professor of hip hop and scoffing, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, what does that even mean? And so while we know what it's supposed to mean, you know, like, I don't want to ever lose sight of that being part of the conversation. So I do my job. You know, I do what I'm supposed to do, or what I expect for myself to do. And I guess part of that expectation is to always highlight that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a professor in the music department at UVA. My title is Professor of Hip Hop.
Nice. You got the best job in the world.
I certainly appreciate that. I certainly appreciate I appreciate gainful employment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So we got 4 minutes and I want to so let's talk about this, because when you speak about the Sleepwalker duology, I guess it would be is that a word? But the two albums of Sleepwalkers, I get the idea that sleepwalking means kind of like this zombie-like state that you're alive yet you're not comprehending the reality of which is going around you or is going on around you. I would say 60-70% of our population, you know, not to sound like condescending or like that I'm super woke or anything, but I do think there's a lot of stuff that we don't know that's really going on. And when you speak about the Sleepwalkers albums, they sound quite contrary to that. So I wanted to know, what you felt about the term Sleepwalkers and who exactly the Sleepwalkers are in your opinion. And, if you can elaborate on that title a little bit more.
Well, the title, I was trying to find the excerpt, but the title actually comes from the prologue of Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man.
Mm.
And he talks about this state that the that he finds people in as he's the Invisible Man, as he's like walking out on the street, you know, and someone runs into him, and then he finds himself in this situation of wanting to like to be violent toward that person. Then he says, you know, like, there are a few things in the world as dangerous as sleepwalkers, you know, but he says something about really using this situation, you know, like the sleepwalking as a way to work against them without their knowing it. I think that calling the album Sleepwalking is really to call into question, like, I mean, as you ask, who is sleepwalking, you know, like whether I am the person doing the sleepwalking or, you know, it's other folks who are around. I don't know that I can really answer that question. I know that I'm participating in whatever ways. But in my hope to use this this position that I'm in, to use this like the music that I make as a way to intervene, to raise the question. I hope that that we might read that text and mm-hmm. engage with that question, like, you know, am I the sleepwalker, or am I the person coming into contact with sleepwalkers? Mm-hmm. But also to think about how we might use whatever it is that we have wherever we are to work against such an idea, mm-hmm. you know, to work against
and
whatever
how to actually and how to actually yes and how to actually contextualize that between, because there is such a thing as people being completely like asleep and healthy distractions, like therapy speaks about, you know, firefighters and distractions. Music is a distraction mm-hmm. from like the everyday craziness that goes on. But I want to talk more with AD. I want to talk about the state of hip hop today, what he feels it in. I want to talk about Kenny. I want to talk about Drake. I want to talk about the people before and the people after. Yeah.
Okay.
All of that. Scorpion's hot, in my opinion. All right. We're going to be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop!
This is filmmaker Lorenzo Dickerson, and you're listening to The Homegrown Show, the show about local art on WPVC 94.7.
18 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown.
And where have you been? Where have you been? It's been 20 minutes already.
You have explaining to you, right? Young person.
Right?
Don't give me that look. I want to know where you've been.
That's right.
You've been hanging out with Ricky, haven't you? He's up to no good, I'm telling you. He's a bum and his family's full of bums. I'm sorry, I don't even know Ricky.
Sorry, we just turned into like Black Mama and Daddy right here.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. AD Carson's in the house talking about Sleepwalking 2. Just dropped June 22nd. The video has just been finished.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Saw the dailies of it not too long ago.
Oh my God.
Heard it's hot like fire.
It is. It is. Can I just say it was awesome to like work with AD like for an entire day, like going through that.
And, yes, you can.
And oh my God, it was. And Mig, I mean, he's awesome. Yeah. He's so awesome.
Yeah.
And to be able to have these two accomplished and amazing artists be able to work with Charlottesville Players Guild folk to get this video made mm-hmm. of a song that is so much more, like, mm-hmm. I feel like rap is always like, oh, that's just a rap song. Like, mm-hmm. this song is so much more than that.
Yeah.
And
we're a show about local art, and this is an example of local art communities and companies collaborating to create a piece that could reach like national, like epic proportion. So mm-hmm. this is what local art is about. So I just want to profess that with my professor, AD Carson over here. we actually got Sleepwalkers 2, Sleepwalking 2, I apologize, pulled up right now. So you, I want to hear a track. Will you allow us that? And then we can talk about it.
Oh, yeah, that's all good.
All right. Sounds so, which one are we playing? This is Sticks and Stones by AD Carson.
Yes. ADthegreat.com. Now that we see the broken bodies and bones, the bruises of the battered, not from sticks and stones, but from the results of what we've long been taught could never hurt us, I wonder if we can stand by our assertion that words don't matter as much as they've always told us. So I wear all these and those words on my back, hoping to fashion out of them wings that weigh as much as the histories they hold and are held by them, that I could spread them from one end to the other of an empty, infinite scroll and beat them against that vast void, making marks in music, moving me higher and farther, lifting me upward and outward, testing me over and over, letting me know and understand that if we are simply a collection of these and those stories we tell and are told of who we were and are and can and will be, and what we never will until we wield our words against those willed to us, used against us. And though they're heavy as hell, I don't mind wearing them because these wings ain't never been a burden. And the flight is worthy of fear. But the main difference between me and Icarus, his and my wings,
is the closer mind take me to see her son, the less I worry about drowning or burning, and the more I think about scenes of sons and daughters seeing one another set over seas of centuries, as sure of their place in the world as I am that waxing poetic about them here is a seed that can grow into them, all while they're growing into it, knowing they too are products of not only what we say, but what we do. And rather than become broken bodies and bones, rather than being bruised and battered, they'll be equipped to fight those sticks and those stones. The rhetoric of war, the worst of all the words in the world used as weapons against them, and theirs will be wings fashioned through fire, worn proudly, with not a slouch shoulder nor a complaint. And they'll meet one another with the familiar greeting passed down through years. The understood answer being nothing. Because they'll all know that's the only thing that's ever been able to rise above them. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely nothing, 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 nothing.
Hey. Ah, that was dope. That was dope. Get. Would you be mad if it sounded?
David's gonna ask questions now.
I rarely do. would you be mad if I compared it like Common Sense, like not Common, but like Common Sense, like back in the day, like just the flow and like just basically the cadence alone, not even the content.
Well, yeah, I get that.
Necessarily.
I mean, I can understand that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm from Illinois, and you know, and then to open the project up with something that is, relying more heavily on really, you know, like just spoken word as the, you know, it's not like I'm like I am presenting in that particular piece, you know, like my deadliest bar so much as I'm like trying to convey something about the power of those words.
Oh,
you know, like,
oh no, we only going to give him a sample. We ain't going to give him the death lineup just yet.
I understand that's my, it's been, that's the kind of the difficulty is to release a project where conceptually, I mean, I'm more hoping that folks like really get into what I'm doing conceptually than, you know, like this other thing. But that's, you know, I feel like that's also explaining too much, you know, like.
And I apologize, but the part of hip hop too. It's like you hear a new dude on the scene. It's like, oh, who does this remind you of? This, that, and the third. Yeah. But we only have a few minutes left. But first of all, I want to premise by, I hope we can get you on. Back on the show. I want it on videotape. We will get you back on Homegrown.
Work.
We will have another interview when Sleepwalking 2 becomes like, you know, a viral sensation. But I wanted to talk because your sound sounds really old school, and you speak of KRS-One like I think of KRS-One. We had a great conversation like before the show. So I wanted to talk to you about how you think the new generation of hip hop, because this is like the strongest like hip hop has ever been. Like in an American sense, like hip hop has taken over rock as the number one listened to genre of
music.
Definitely
in a commercial sense.
Yes, in a commercial sense.
Yeah.
So hip hop is it right now. It's in its commercial like peak. It is right now. So
yeah, is that a good thing? I don't know if that's a good thing.
I would like to hear your thoughts on that. And as a UVA professor of hip hop, what that means in translating what hip hop truly means or what it should, quote unquote, should or should not mean for the youth that you teach.
I think that it's important for us to just kind of as we are talking about how, you know, like how far reaching hip hop is currently, you know, like what the commercial landscape looks like. It's important for us to just kind of look at history and to be mindful of what has been happening for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as we're doing that, then I don't think that we are as susceptible to ahistorical analyses of what is going on now and how much different, you know, how much different in our minds that might be from what has previously happened. Because I definitely hear a lot of folks making arguments and assessments about hip hop that just don't really makes sense if you are engaging with the history mm-hmm. Of the music and, you know, what people have been doing for a really long time. And I think that if you find yourself listening to your first rap album, you know, in 2018 or, you know, 2017 or 2016, and then you believe that you can make an assessment of what hip hop is doing now that it didn't do, you know, 30 years ago, but you haven't studied any of that history or you haven't looked into any of that history, and your assessment is based on what you've heard, based on what has been on the radio, or based on, you know, like whose names you know,
right?
Then you know, then I can't really take that seriously. So I would hope that folks would, as they are coming into their appreciation of hip hop, show that appreciation by being studious. And when that happens, then, you know, we don't make, you know, asinine arguments about, you know, how terrible mumble rap is, or right. how, you know, like how right. it doesn't belong somehow, or how, you know, a certain kind of intelligibility doesn't exist anymore in rap music that used to
right.
in 1979, you know, when rappers were saying
bum skiddy bum skiddy bow,
or yeah, Scooby Dee bebop bebop. And
you just, can't come to me with Daz effects and say that.
Yeah, so it's weird. I mean, but I imagine that somebody word. Was like, oh yeah, like those rappers are not even saying anything.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
right.
And right. rappers back in my day used to say stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And their day was Scooby Dee Wee Bop Bebop.
Right, right, right.
And
right.
so I just sorry. Feel like if we're closer to the history, you know, and we can provide some kind of context for our analyses, then we'd have richer discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that we can have professors like you come on and have similar, richer discussions on that. We're out of time,
word.
And it sucks. We got to get you back. AD Carson, thank you so much.
I appreciate y'all.
Sleepwalking 2, June 22nd. Get it on SoundCloud?
No,
Spotify?
No.
Bandcamp.
Or wherever you get music. Yeah, you can. I think you can also get it. I don't know. I say I think because whatever. You can get it at Apple Music or Spotify,
okay.
or Tidal, or wherever else you get music as well.
Okay.
Yeah, but seriously, people, go to Bandcamp and actually buy
purchase.
It. Okay.
Support local art.
Support
or stream it
the
for
arts.
Free.
Stream
no,
it for free.
No, buy it. Well, support the artist.
You can check it out. I mean, can you buy? You can buy. You can buy the songs.
You can listen
all
to
right.
it.
All right. All right. We're going to have you back, Edie. All right.
All right.
We got to get into some of these artistic events. Here are some of the artistic events happening this week. Last chance for a Chorus Line at UVA's Cobra Theater, part of the Heritage Summer Theater Festival. Currently running now through September 9th. The Gun Gunny. Old Techniques Remain Strong, an exhibition of paintings on eucalyptus bark from the West Daly region of Northern Australia, the Klugi Roo Aboriginal Art Collection, currently running now through December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center runs a summer fall season with just four plays. Emma Whipday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma.
What are you
George
doing?
George Etheridge's The Man of Mood, or Sir Fuckling Flutter. And Richard III, and As You Like It, by Shakespeare.
You know, you can't do this because that means we're both going to be in English accents for the rest of the show.
January 27th, Reflections, Native Art Across Generations, an exhibition of the work of several contemporary Native American artists at UVA's Fralin Art Museum. Tomorrow, poetry, theater, painting, and so much more at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar open mic. July 5th through the 15th, Javi, at UVA's Ruth Kaplan Theater as part of, I don't know what's wrong with
what
me,
are this you year's talking about?
Heritage Summer Theater Festival. Go see Javi! See Javi at the Kaplan Theater. July 6th. First Fridays.
You realize check it out sounded like you were saying Javi, not Harvey.
Yeah. You'll figure it out. Just run the playback. It's July 6th, First Fridays. Check out art openings on and around the downtown mall. Also July 6th, this is why I need to read the script. Sri Kodakala. Kodakala.
Wait, as Clinton bangs his head against the table.
Opens. I was reading it before, and then we started talking with AD, and that shit was amazing. My bad. Opens his exhibition of acrylic paints and charcoal works at the Leroy Moore Performance Hall at the Music Resource Center. Please don't fire me. Chroma Arts Project features Tim Pedersen's show. Synonyms. Antonyms. I said Nim.
I said Nim. Okay.
Features Nim Pedersen's show.
You're an actor. Synonyms. Enunciate.
Antonyms. And Akemi Ohira and Chooks and Shangs show, joint show, Personal Truths. There's something wrong with my vision. July 6th, Big Blue Door offers just their first vision? Friday improv at McGuffey Arts Center. Also July 6th, Anti Up Comedy hosts Battle Edition with hosts and former guests Chris Allen and Winston Hodges. July 7th, UVA Fralin Art Museum docent and former guest June Hines guides you through 45 minutes, only 45, of meditative exploration at Fralin Art Pieces at her Looking Inward Meditative Tour. And then once more, 46 is there, bang, you're back to real life. Sorry, people, that is what it is. July 13th through 15th, the Maupin Town Film Festival at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center.
Yes!
And for your music options this week.
Oh, well, for your music options this week. Today, Berto Sales and Miles Pierce at Glasshouse Winery at 3 p.m. Dara Gordia at Star Hill Brewery Tap Room also at 3:30. Tonight, Semi Horn at Fellini's and Travis Elliott at Rapture. July 3rd, the next in Charlottesville Municipal Band series of summer concerts at the Paramount Theater. Bring your kids before the 7:30 show for a musical instrument petting zoo. It's actually in quotations. I'm not quite sure what that's about. July 4th, Blue Mountain Barrel House hosts their Low Country Boil for Independence Day. Oh, yes. Firecracker Jam, Five Oaks Fire from Amherst, and the Eli Cook Trio play. Oh, hello, Eli. Lovely to hear from you, darling. You need to come back on the show, love, all right? July 4th, also Help Me Helen at James River Brewery. Oh, Help Me Helen. Oh, that sounds like some sort of cover band. Frightening a little bit. The three-piece rock, pop, and soul cover band South Canal Street at Graves Mountain Lodge. All right, a lot to do on July 4th here. Victor Lee on sax, Dan Sebring on bass, David Weiss on piano, and Monty Parsons on drums. Make up the jazz connection. They do. At Star Hill Tap Room. Yes, that's lovely. July 5th, Scott Ward at Tavern on the James. Former guest, The Ascendants, play Richmond's Lobo Marino at the Ix Park. Face Made for Radio at the Whiskey Jar. The Allen Iverson Project plays at Trey Anastasio After Party at Rapture. That's all on the 5th. All right. On the 6th, we have Free Union plays Fridays After 5 at Sprint Pavilion. Pickin' and Grinning, instrumental and vocal jam at James River Brewery. Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar presents Saw Black and Willie D.E. and Harrison Berg's Dogwood Tales on the 6th also. Chickenhead Blues Band at Fellini's. The Robert Jospay Trio at Glasshouse Winery. Miles Pierce and Lauren Oppenheimer at Armorwell Sideworks. Ooh, oh my goodness. All right, we're on to the 7th now. All right, Michael Clem plays Sunset Saturdays at Night's Gambit Venue. Oh, hello, Michael. Lovely, darling. Need to come back on the show as well. All right, we missed you. Red and the New Romantics. I thought it was Red and the Romantics. Now it's Ned. Oh, it's a different group. All right. Red and the New Romantics.
Shake up and breakups.
At Rapunzel, you know, Saturn in retrograde is, you know, affecting everyone, apparently.
You know,
at Rapunzel's Coffee and Books, the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar presents Handsome Hound with Garage Pop by Stray Fossa and the Bittersweet Folk of Jenna Matthew. Oh, lovely. On the 7th.
Mm.
Juliet McConkie. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Juliet.
so sorry if I'm not, at Hardywood Pilot Brewery and Tap Room. All right, here we go. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music. Weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Red and the Romantics, not the New Romantics, this is just Red and the Romantics, at the Whiskey Jar. Songwriter Night at the Local. All right, that's all Monday. Tuesday, we have the traditional session at the
10 Visual Irish Pub.
Yes, I'm going to let them do that today. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and
Umberto Sales
at the Bebedero. Okay, here's our Wednesday list. It's very long. All right, bear with me.
Wacky Wednesday.
Open Mic Night at the Pro Reynada Farm Brewery.
Boom!
Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective No. 9 at Fellini's No. 9.
Boom!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero.
Boom!
Bachata Fusion at the Ix Art Park.
Boom!
Stone Rolling at the Shebeen Pub.
Stone Rolling!
And the Mike Krasitsky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. I'm not really sure what happened over there. There are an awful lot of sounds.
Wacky right. Wednesday.
Every Thursday we have Lua at the Bebedero. And every Thursday, John Duff at Miller's. All right, that's your music options.
And this is Homegrown Drop.
I'm Casey Lohr.
And Marissa Strickler.
From Shannon Arts production of A Piece of My Heart. And you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art.
94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
Solid.
Yeah. Always like to practice that.
Yeah. Buying it.
39 minutes past the hour, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown. And Leslie's surprisingly solid British accent.
Well, you know.
By the way, Help Me Helen is the group, it's the band that former guest Deborah Guy runs. And we know that. And we love you, Deborah. We want you back on the show as well.
And we mean no offense to any of the musician guests. We have fun, and this is what we do. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call.
And now let's look at the paper.
It is a previously recorded episode, so you won't get that live love, but it's still love in general. Eric. His guest today is UVA Associate Professor of American Art and Culture, Carmenita Higginbotham. Carmenita Higginbotham.
All right.
I should have let you read this.
It's a lovely English name.
Talking about the history, growth, and cultural influences of the Walt Disney Corporation. Whew. Well, it should just be a big talon on the globe. Like, that's Disney right now. I mean, they just got a hold of it all. I'm just saying.
You're just saying?
But our guests are here right now.
Yes!
And it's Holly McLeod.
Caitlin McLeod.
Yeah. You crossed it out. And yeah, it's right there.
It's okay. I'm Caitlin McLeod.
That's right. So it's not a mistake. It's a preference.
David's trying to save his job right now.
Trying to save my job that I get
really,
no
really
money
hard.
From. What's happening? In Arcadia Rodriguez. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing well. These are Charlottesville Lady Arm Wrestlers, also known as Claw.
Oh, wow.
And we're talking about how Claw fundraises.
We're gonna have to figure out how much caffeine you're allowed to have before the show. And,
Well, it really all depends on the coffee, the grind, the impact.
My goodness.
So yeah.
I'd like to say that for a Claw event, there is no limit to the beverage.
No limit to the beverage.
No limit to the beverage if you want to come to Claw.
You sold me already.
Whatever your beverage may be.
Oh, he'll be there.
The next Claw experience is at the Champion Brewery Company on July 16th.
No. 7th.
It's actually July 7th.
July 7th.
This Saturday. But
yeah, I was going to get to
it
that.
It is this Saturday.
Yeah, and there's one coming up this Saturday.
Yes.
At Champion Brewery
at
as
Champion.
Well.
At Champion.
And it's going to be amazing.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that.
And
talk about...
And you'll probably see Leslie.
Yes, you will see me, and you will see David as well.
We'll talk about that later. So
you may get to see a little more of David than you're used to seeing.
Oh, hold on. We really need to talk about later.
We didn't tell you that
anything for the Claw Bucks.
Yeah,
that's right.
Anything
to
for the Claw
money,
Bucks.
David.
Let's just get it. Yeah, I was going to say, let's just get into what Claw is. So I'm a homegrown listener. I'm listening to David Scream because that's what I do. I'm tuning in. I ain't never heard of Claw before in my life. So just for the people, just for the homegrown people that don't know exactly what Claw is, can you talk about Claw and can you explain what the Claw experience is?
Is that you or me?
We are going to try. So The general idea of Claw is it's a bunch of women dressing in extreme costumes. Think of like WWE, like wrestling type situation. We come up with crazy personas. We get together and we arm wrestle to raise money for a local women run or women based nonprofit charity or like art project in the area. That's the short pitch.
I would say it's where sporting and theater and philanthropy combine. We offer a huge amount of audience interaction so that the audience can decide. There is the champion at the end of the night. There are 8 wrestlers, several bouts, true arm wrestling with entourage, with persona, very much in the luchadora type of
gotcha.
Kind of way of doing it. And at the end of the night, the audience can decide on the crowd favorite, which usually comes from personality, persona, the idea behind their character, mm-hmm. and how they display that, how they manage to charm the crowd through the night.
Gotcha.
And then also there's the physical champion. So there's 2 ways to win. You can get knocked out as a wrestler in the first round, but still win crowd favorite because they love your persona, whether that be Sarah Palin, whether that be Killer Ann Conway, whether that be...
Wow.
What's the Hermione Granger? Hermione Granger, she was awesome. The Playground Punisher we've had the Panic Attacker. We've had the...
A.K.A. See you later.
See you later. Who else? We have... Rainbow Fright. Women come up with their own personas.
Rainbow Fright.
Develop their own entourages, and the entourage mixes with the crowd and gets you to bet on the wrestler. We have judges on stage. You can bribe the wrestlers. You can bribe the judge. You can bribe the ref. So you can change the outcome of the show. So it's
all
true audience interaction. It's
all
true audience interaction. It's on the patio of the Champion Brewery. We have Champion food and drink there, and it is a great time.
It's always a great time at Champion. How? Really?
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna talk more about Claw, but we gotta do a drop. We gotta pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop.
Hi, I'm Chandler Farabee from Vinegar Hill Theater at Lighthouse Studio, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
46 minutes past the hour, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown. And where y'all been? Seriously. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Your host, Rick Moe.
You know what? All right, so there's been a lot of noises this morning because of the caffeine.
His guest today is UVA Associate Professor of American Art and Culture, historian
Carmenita Higginbotham.
Thank you, Leslie.
You're welcome. Always happy to help, darling.
Talking about the history, growth, and cultural influences of the Walt Disney Corporation. And how it has taken over every aspect of your life.
How Walt Disney kills us. Yes. Oh,
but...
sorry.
No, this is the Star Wars shirt. I'm actually going to go home and see The Last Jedi. Just came out on Netflix.
Really?
Yep. Caitlin MacLeod.
I've got
Arcadia Rodriguez. Claw wrestlers. I guess that's redundant.
I'm not a wrestler.
Claw wrestlers. You're not a wrestler. Just
I'm
a promoter.
The production manager.
You're the Jimmy Hart of of Claw per se.
Do you have a huge production manager?
Okay.
I tell people where to go and what to do.
Actually, most of the time I don't wrestle as well. I'm usually DJ Katie Bug. I'm helping to just keep people moving and bring entourages in with some sweet-ass music behind them. Ooh, probably shouldn't have said that, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Oh, we're
no,
good.
That's
we're
PG-13.
Good. Okay,
we're good.
Cool. Sweet. Awesome. All right, but I will be wrestling this time.
Yes!
Yeah.
Awesome!
I will be wrestling as Princess Plum. I will have a mustache.
Yes!
And
can't wait. Can't
and
wait.
We always have a dance party at the end after the winners are announced.
Well,
a
and
dance party.
So this version of Claw is to benefit the Charlottesville Players Guild. So I'm going to be a judge.
Well, that should go well.
Bribe the judges. Bribe the judges.
I think I know exactly.
Just, you know, money.
Where
money,
that money's
y'all.
Going
just,
to.
No, no applause. Just throw
you're
money.
You're wondering the best way to bribe Leslie. Mm-hmm. Money.
Yep. Money. Mm-hmm. Money would be it.
The CPG is responsible for productions like Joe Turner's Come and Gone, Fences, Jitney.
Currently working on
Macbeth. So a lot of stuff that we are not only have been personally affiliated with, but also stuff that we believe in. Dr. Andrea Douglas has been nothing but great in her support for all that. So, yeah, much love to her and everything about the CPG. So we hope it generates a lot of money so that we can keep productions like that going and moving. But that's what Claw does in a nutshell. Yes, you create experiences and shows like this for benefiting other local art companies.
Yes. Would you like a brief history?
Yes, I would love a brief history.
Okay. In 2007, our good friends Jennifer Tidwell and Jody Plaisance decided to arm wrestle each other because they were both weaklings, and they realized that it was pretty ridiculous. And so then they gathered more and more friends to engage in these arm wrestling matches, bouts at the Blue Moon Diner. Eventually, they realized they could bring this into a charitable situation where we benefit an organization that is either women-oriented or started by a woman in order to get them a small seed of money, and which I guess it would be small for bigger organizations, but it's a big seed of money for these smaller women's organizations. So we usually are able to provide $3,000 to $4,000 per event to these organizations. It's all volunteer. There are about 50 volunteers per show. There's people selling claw bucks. There's people sorting claw bucks. There's people counting. There's all the wrestlers, all the entourage, all of us volunteer. And in the end, at the end of the night, all that money goes to the organization. And we tend to try and focus on organizations where $3,000 to $4,000 really will make a big difference. So we might not do it for Habitat for Humanity, but we did it for Women Build, which is a subsidiary of Habitat for Humanity. We've done it for the Literacy Volunteers. We've done it for Sarah, all kinds of organizations.
And how long has Claw been going on again?
Since 2007.
And are you running out of organizations?
No, we are not running out of organizations whatsoever. We just did one for Sisters Keeper, which is a doula organization for women of color.
Mm.
That was great. Last year, our last one was Brave Souls on Fire, which is an organization, spoken word poetry artistic group that's kind of driven by issues of mental illness. And so it was that was just one woman, and she got the big seed of money to really expand it. So what we want to do is, and it makes a difference because these small organizations bring their crowd with them. We have our Claw crowd that loves Claw, but each organization brings their own group of VIP guests as well as their own, distribution list of people that are interested in what they're doing. And so each one is a really cool different mix. We have our Claw ladies, which is, I always like to say it's like Mardi Gras under a tent with the women in charge.
Yes.
Which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the women are in charge is what ends up, why we're so organized, we end up with a bunch of money at the end. We're having all kinds of fun. It doesn't feel like we're doing fundraising. It feels like we're having a blast at Mardi Gras with women in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And VIP tickets, by the way, are on sale right now for Saturday.
And what can individuals who purchase VIP tickets expect to get with that ticket?
Well, with that ticket, they will be... How should I say this? They will be taken care of by select members of the Black Mac cast.
Like, taken care of?
Drinks delivered.
No, I'm talking about delivering your
drinks. Oh, I thought you meant in the mock sense.
Ushering you to your seat. There will be a little grab bag. Like, you know, you're going to be treated like royalty.
How about that?
Yes.
Wine and dined.
And but wine.
There's nothing like Claw royalty.
Yeah.
Special kind of royalty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because Claw is like a Charlottesville staple. Like, you know, people know what Claw is in Charlottesville. Like, you know, if you scream Claw in Whole Foods, like, people come running. So it's
that's wonderful to hear. It's true.
So you're an amazing, like, staple in the community. And it's, and it's kind of crazy that, I mean, I'm sure we've had Claw on before, but.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
No, this is the first time we've had Claw on.
We moved a year or so ago. There was a big group of women that did it from 2007 until 2 years ago. It was at the Blue Moon Diner for a lot of years. The Blue Moon Diner is now
under construction.
Under construction, and the parking lot in the back where we used to do it is no longer available.
Yep.
So it took us a year to find Claw, to find Champion, to kind of get Champion sorted out, and we also changed over producing. The women in the producing body. So this is a second generation. A lot of the first generation come back and judge and stuff like that. But it's evolving. It's moving forward from its original thing, which is wonderful. And also, I got to say that Claw started here in Charlottesville. There are now 20 leagues across the country from LA. Yeah, LA to New York to how far south? I think Durham.
Can it be Claw? Is it just a law of other places, like an LA law
LA law, no law is the New Orleans one.
That's awesome.
Grawl is the greater.
The one in Texas is Clawston.
Clawston.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Awesome.
And they're individual leagues that do their own fundraising.
That's very cool.
So there are all those Facebook viewers that are watching from across the world and across the country. If you want to start your law. You know who to contact.
That's right.
We got to wrap up, but we're definitely going to have you back on. Thank you so much for all the work that you do.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah. It's all over here. Arcadia Rodriguez and Caitlin McLeod. Thank you. All right. So I think it's about that time for Leslie's weekly rant.
Yeah. So today I wanted to talk about Auntie Maxine. You know. We love Auntie Maxine.
We do.
Right?
Yes.
We love...
Like we love our family.
We love the way she tells it like it is. We love the way she is absolutely fearless in the face of just outright racism and white supremacy every single day. But I need to talk to all of the people saying that she is a hate monger. That she went a little too far, that she overstepped her bounds. And Nancy Pelosi, I'm looking at you. Okay? Because you're one of those well-meaning white women that piss me the off.
Radio.
Okay? I just want to make one thing clear. When it comes to talking about racism or white supremacy or the effects of white supremacy in this country... When a black woman is speaking about those effects and their continued effects on the black community, the only thing that a white person, man or woman, needs to do in that room is shut up. Okay? Just shut up and listen. And if you can't do that, then please remove yourself from the room entirely. Okay? Because you have no right to speak about any of those subjects because they are not affecting you. All right? So stop hating on the black woman who's telling the actual truth. Okay? And how about you start listening to her and doing something about the things that she is telling you are going on, the immoral and racist things that are happening in this country. And how about you actually, do the job that you were sent to Washington to do. Okay? Thanks, Precious. And that's my rant.
Okay, thanks, bye. No, I agree 100%. Wasn't that a Nike campaign? Just shut up. you know, there was a swoosh. No, I remember that commercial. Not quite. It is what it is. But yeah, Auntie Maxine, keep telling it like it is because somebody's got to in Washington before we all burn and die. Well, that's Homegrown. I'd like to thank our guests.
A.D. Carson, Arcadia Rodriguez, and Caitlin McLeod are, that's not my part, but, yeah, Clinton, I love you. Leslie, I love you. Great show.
Love you more.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great show. We're going to turn it out of Claw next week, and then we'll be back here on the 8th. So we'll see you all next Sunday, and we're going to take off. Take it easy.
Peace.
Bye.
This has been Homegrown, your only show about local art. Our opening music was from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. You're listening to A.D. Carson right now. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson & Burke Legal Services, Like a Song. Coming up next, of course, is a previously recorded episode of the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest today is UVA Associate Professor of American Art and Culture, Carmenita Higginbotham, talking about the history and the growth and cultural influences of the Walt Disney Corporation. Stay tuned, or you'll be ruined. It's Homegrown. Peace. Yes, but they know better. Think we're doing bad, but they're no better. We lived all over, but my pops, he lived on Wood Street. Always felt I ain't no killer, but don't push me. We heard that pussy got pussy shot, so you could push a rock on the court or the block, or you could push a mop. The sweetest joy next to getting it wasn't getting back. You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.